Hello and welcome to The Boy and the Bear.
I'm Patrick, a fan of the champions and Dundee conquering Glasgow Celtic.
I'm Scott, a fan of the treble chasing Glasgow Rangers.
I think it's safe to say that our bear missed his pal and therapist, the mediator, in our last episode, and it is genuinely nice to have you back, Steve.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. You all good, Scotty?
I'm grand, mate. Good to have you back.
You tried to act really enthusiastic there, but I think you just shouted louder rather than got any
Yeah.
I do apologise for missing the last one, lads. Well done for not falling apart without me. Since the last episode, both teams have set up the first Old Firm Scottish Cup final since 2002, which I was staggered to hear. James Forrest has shown why he's still a Celtic player, and Dessers has bailed Rangers out again.
But before we get into all this, it would be great if you could please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, and do follow us at BoyBearPod on Instagram and X.
You can find our podcasts on all major streaming platforms, and we are always looking for guest suggestions and listener questions. More on that soon, and you can email these to us at theboyandthebear@gmail.com.
So lads, on to compliments. Patrick, your compliment for Scott first, please.
Yeah, I think my compliment is it's fair play to Dessers, I think. And, you know, he's much maligned. I think we're going to get into this in more detail, but yep. He's come through again. Is he your Samaras? Someone who is objectively a bad footballer, but somehow, you know, is getting the goals and carrying the team. And also for St Mirren to equalise, you know, my eyes lit up when that happened and I was looking at another slip up. So I suppose well done to Rangers for not making it five games without a win.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I was dreading that when they equalised us. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, we can tell, mate, by the voice note you sent.
Afternoon, gents. I am absolutely fucked. But watching this Rangers game has really sobered me up. It's fucking awful. Just shit. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a great day.
I don't think I could ever sound rougher in my life. Holy shit.
The best bit about that is, like, it actually sounds like you're drunk there in the pub watching the game.
Yeah.
We were all on a stag there on Saturday night. That was you starting your recovery.
Yeah, that. I should have just cracked on with the drink after watching that. My compliment to you, Patrick, is along the similar lines, James Forrest, what's that? Two games in a row that he's come clutch for Celtic. When you need him to step up, he's there. When no one else is, so we don't really have that right at this moment in time until Dessers did his thing. But yeah, I just thought he was your best player. Seems to have hit a stride right at the right time for you guys, unfortunately.
The man who can't run properly hitting a stride.
Forrest Gump could run as well, so I mean,
Forrest Gump.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my compliment. It's amazing he's still at Celtic contributing, which, you know, you couldn't say that at the start of the season. So
2-1 wins in what is probably fairly forgettable games. So this week I'm going to open up the main talking points of the podcast in a very primary school fashion way. I'd like you to traffic light your team's performances. One red for something that really concerned you. One amber for something that might be a problem before the end of the season, and a green for something you're happy with. And Scotty, I'm going to come to you first, mate.
I'm loving how simple you're breaking it down. Even Scotty can understand. That's great.
even this is too difficult to pick a green moment.
Just raging, right. There's no blue light.
I don't do green. Nah, I'm only joking. So I'll go with the obvious green performance. It was good to see Dessers contribute again. Like, he's there. He's bagged 20 goals and a handful of assists, so he's clearly got something. But it's just that consistency that we require in most games, I think it's lacking. But you can't argue with the guy's goal. So I think he would be my green light.
I'll be honest, mate, right? Because you come back and forward on this all the time, and I'm pretty sure I either heard on this podcast or you in person saying that Cyril Dessers should not be Rangers striker.
No, this is what I mean. Like, I don't know how he scored 20 goals, and I'm looking at him going, how are you a footballer most weeks? And then other times he pulls out an R9 chop back, and you're like, oh, okay.
He's a better footballer than Chris Boyd, and you guys idolise him.
At least I suppose, yeah, you're true, but like, Chris Boyd had more goals and stuff, so I mean, he was more of a killer, but he scored 20 goals. That's what most people want in a 20 goals season striker. And
20 goals is what you'd expect from a 20 goal a season striker.
I'm still hungover for the weekend, right? This is too hard. Something that concerned me was just how slow we're starting games again. You know, we've gone back to that dip where we're starting games and in the 73rd minute or something, you know, when we really need to pull it out, and it's either too late at that point or we've been really lucky to still be in the game. And I think that's, it's been the theme of the last couple of games, and again it was evident at the weekend. So that's a concern going in, and I really hope the manager can sort it going in. I don't know if you can sort it in the last four or five games left, and then I think it's more of a summer job, like get that stamped out, the team. I would say the red moment, and I've probably said this a few times, it's just an absolute collapse, or you know, of we had one hand on the title pretty much a few weeks ago, and then we dropped the ball in two games where we could have extended our lead, and again we've just not been able to recover. And I think that's the red flag, red light for me, is just how much we've just given up. You know, I feel like it's given up. Sorry.
What do you think the most disappointing result in that run was, Scott, or the most damaging result?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think Motherwell, you can kind of, you know, I wasn't as damaging. It was a start of a slip, but it wasn't damaging. I think it probably the Ross County game.
I was at the start, like the where you started questioning it a little bit.
Yeah, like properly going, oh Christ, here we go. Like Motherwell, you know, these games happen from time to time.
Definitely like the one that nobody expected. The game.
Yeah, you're thinking with the relegation, you know, you're thinking, right, go up there, score a couple of goals, extend that goal difference, you know, get yourself back in front in the league table, and then they pull out a performance. This is one of the worst performances I've seen outside of the Aberdeen performance at the beginning of the season. But Dundee was bad, but I still think Ross County was just a total collapse.
Interesting you've not said Celtic on that.
No, I think those games kind of...
I mean, remember they won the league title after that game, did that for
Listen, just have to let the Portuguese guys have a nice time, all right? No, I think, to be honest, the Celtic game... It was a good draw, and in the end, you know, both teams went for each other. But I think.
Oh, that's weak.
I know it's weak, mate. That's got nothing. So I've got nothing else, mate. Honestly, this team has drained any ounce of.
Nothing left.
I don't. Honestly, watching this team for the.
Have you ever had anything? Like, I think you said that every podcast this season, but.
Yeah.
Oh, no, listen, I mean, back to the ones in January, February. This is it's a different bear. It's a hungry bear.
You surely can't win a league title.
No, yeah, I don't.
Without having beaten Celtic.
Yeah, that would be mental if that's the case. But I just think, you know, I thought at the time we started really poorly. Obviously, we did that live recording and we started 20 really.
20 seconds.
Yeah, 28 seconds or something like that. So I thought, oh, Christ, we're in for one of those days. And that was. I was mentally preparing myself to get absolutely slaughtered.
Actually, looking back, that was one of the best moments of my life.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Sitting on my couch, laughing up.
Can I and Bruce Celtic score?
I know. But I think to come back in the manner and score the goals and right at the death, I thought that showed a wee bit, you know, the team's got something to get back into the game. So I wasn't overly concerned. It was annoying the way we started, but I thought we ended the game quite well.
You'd love a premature celebration.
Well, here's the thing. You might be on to something because you've celebrated like that, right? Fair enough. Go and like clap your fans and say thanks for sticking with us. That's all great. But some of the celebrations from certain players was a wee bit OTT for my liking. So I think maybe.
Gerard.
Yeah, I don't mind the Gerrard thing so much because we hadn't beaten you guys in a long, long time. I mean, we were getting. Cuffed left, right and centre every time he played you. And
different expectations, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he's come in and beat you in your own patch, which nobody thought was going to happen, right? So I'm not really fussed about that one. I don't think that was a celebration of title. It was we've just beaten our greatest rivals in their own patch. It deserves a wee fist bump, you know? But
so when you get a draw against them, it's a lap of honour.
But what I'm saying, I don't understand the whole...
I get you.
That whole let's jump about on each other's backs. Fair enough, as I said, walk about and clap your fans, right? But jumping on each other's backs is like you said, as if you've won the title. Get a fucking grip. That's not acceptable.
It's a piggyback ban at Ibrox.
Should have Christ. But aye. So I think that's been the biggest concern for me, is just the total collapse. So yeah.
I'd say it's quite a big concern, yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, I would like you
big concern.
I'd like you to go in reverse order, please. I'd like you to start with your red and finish on green, please.
Okay. My red is Liam Scales on the ball. It's been an issue for a number of weeks, but it's really starting to, like, it's becoming patently obvious. Like, if I was Rodgers, I would get Scales to Lennox Town, give him a ball, put him beside a wall, just get him to kick the ball at the wall, control it with one foot, and just pass it with the other.
He'd probably knock himself out.
I can certainly think of a number of Celtic players. Maida would kill himself, like, definitely. But he is doing in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 touches what he could do in one or two, and it's you can trace the entirety of Celtic's game plan slowing down when Liam Scales gets on the ball. Defensively, as a last ditch defender, winning headers, you know, defending the box, he's actually been pretty decent this season. But going forward, you know, in a league where we have most of the ball, most of the games, it's just obviously slow. And then the time he takes on the ball, you can tell that's when the opposition actually used that chance to get back into a shape.
Back in shape, trigger presses.
So,
really glad I picked him on my team in the season.
Yeah, you did well, yeah.
I did. That's not as if I had many options from your gap, was it?
To be fair, you also picked really well in Fabio Silva.
Absolute Chuckle Brothers own goal. I didn't put him on my team of the year, but yeah, absolute Chuckle Brothers, the centre back you've got. So,
oh, listen. That's abysmal, yeah. But sorry, crack on.
Shut up. Amber, please, Pat.
Amber is Cal McGregor at the moment. Not, you know, I wax lyrical about McGregor. He's probably my favourite Celtic player in the last number of years, but he's clearly not back to 100% fitness, and he's playing out of necessity. Like, he didn't have a good game. He's not been great, to be honest, since he came on against Rangers at Ibrox. I think we've rushed him back. I think he's suffering. Like, usually the guy plays 60 or 70 games a season. He's almost certainly going to then go and play the Euros, having probably playing through an injury or playing through tightness at the moment. It can't be good for him in the long term. You know, he's 31, I think. He's going to have another long season next year because Celtic have proven they're not very good at replacing people. And, you know, I just wish there was a situation in which we'd wrap this league up earlier, hadn't had our own little slump, and McGregor could have been rested for the Euros and then given a bit of time off. But that, yeah, it's football, but I think we're seeing him slow down, and I don't know if that's a temporary or a permanent slowdown. So that's a little bit of a concern. Because Iwata looked better than him when he came on. And we all know that Iwata is not a better footballer than McGregor. So, wondering
what age is Iwata?
Mid-20s, I think. That's a pretty safe bet for most footballers.
Yeah, not a bad replacement. Though, when you were just saying there that he's they don't replace very well. I mean, they've done a good job in the last 11 years winning every league.
He's 27, Iwata.
Minus one. Is he? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the McGregor thing is a concern for Scotland, especially with... I mean, I know it's not the same position, but obviously Lewis Ferguson pulling out the squad, it's just one option less in midfield, isn't it?
McTominay's injured as well, yeah.
Is he missing the Euros?
There's a doubt, yeah.
Oh, you're having a lot.
Our squad, the Euros squad's absolutely depleted at this point, isn't it?
And this leads me on to my green, because did you hear a certain James Forrest getting touted for a Scotland call-up by BBC Sports Sound in all their wisdom?
Yeah.
But to be fair to the guy, he's my green this week. He showed his quality. That first finish, that instinct, because he had no time to think about the finish, it's one of the best Celtic goals in recent weeks. Like, it's an absolutely brilliant goal, and it's, you know, Rodgers always goes on about quality, and that was a moment of sheer quality from the guy.
Did he get my Gucci belt for celebrating?
yes he did.
Do you not think there's an element where you've just given him too much of a hard time for a player that's had some serious injury problems? He is only 32 as well, which blew my mind, because I thought he was a lot older than
that's
that.
That's mental.
I don't think he's been given a hard time. I think it speaks volumes about Celtic's recruitment that we've brought in four wingers and none of them are as good as a James Forrest, who is on the decline. You know, Forrest's game was all about knocking the ball past someone and having bursts of pace. And that's that element of his game is fading away, and it's been fading away for two or three seasons. I think where it's been useful is because he's hardly played all season, he's actually coming into the end of the season fresh. So call it tactical brilliance from Rodgers. A few weeks ago he said that James Forrest was the best winger at the club, but wasn't playing him. So that sort of confused everyone. But he's playing now, and, you know, how can you knock a footballer for scoring two goals? Although the way he waved to the bench to come off, you could tell he was absolutely exhausted. So I think that's where you're seeing.
No, but it'd be interesting if he keeps playing him. I mean, you've got, at this stage of the season, you've got to play foreign players. It's as simple as that. You're going for a league title. And it was the first point we were moving on to, guys, and we've covered it all already a fair bit, is that two players that you lads have criticised quite openly this season could actually be the deciders in the league. My final question on the Forest one for you, Pat, is that, does he have a place at Celtic next season? And if you're James Forrest, do you call it quits this season, or do you just see the rest of your career at Celtic, if possible?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and it's hard not to give a sort of non-hypothetical answer, because if you go with Celtic's current track record in recruitment, you know, we brought in four wingers and he's still playing. You know, James Forrest is still in the team. So on current form and on the current squad basis, he's one of the best wingers at the club, so he should stay. But that's not the situation Celtic should be in. You know, the idea of James Forrest starting in the Champions League next season, if we make it, is genuinely makes me kind of laugh.
He doesn't have to start, though. I mean, if you can get 20, 30 minutes out of him, or if he plays games where like teams are sitting back and his experience and...
I don't know. If you're asking me, do I think he'll be there? I think yes.
Forrest's got a year left on his contract.
Yeah, he'd probably see that out. I mean, Forrest is so quiet that I think even if you did ask him, he wouldn't answer you. But I'd be interested to know what he was thinking about the whole thing. Does he want to do a Scott Brown and go and do a season somewhere like Aberdeen? And, you know, Scott Brown recently came out and said actually that was, he wished he hadn't. He wished he'd just retired because his legs had gone. Forrest's legs clearly haven't gone quite yet, but, you know, next season, is he of the standard? Should he be playing for Celtic next season? No. Will he? Probably yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that's dependent on the manager, if the manager stays or goes? Do you think?
Like, I think the only way Rodgers is going is if Rangers win the treble, I think. I'd be really surprised if he went in any other situation.
Does Rodgers leave if you lose the league on like goal difference or something like that?
I think if Rangers win a treble, it's very hard to argue that a Celtic manager should stay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from us winning a treble to then Rangers winning a treble, I think was an unacceptable slump in form.
It is an unacceptable slump in form, but I don't think there's a
if you're the highest paid manager in Celtic's history, bear in mind he's like, that's the contract he's on. That is an unacceptable turn.
Yeah. I think that gets cast against him a little bit sometimes. I'd like to see him much higher wages on, because obviously like, it's your next manager is always most likely to be your best paid manager because things go up. But yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see who would be the candidates to take his job if he did go, because I can't imagine any of them be more qualified than him.
Jim Goodman. David Martindale.
David Martindale.
Yeah. Well, listen, same question applies to you, Scotty. I mean, Cyril Dessers, 14 goals in the league this season. Obviously, James Tavernier still your top goal scorer, which, if you give the penalties to Dessers at 25 goals in the season, so
no guarantee there, mate. If they give those penalties to Dessers, they've probably won a lot less games.
You never know, but that my point stands is that mostly that your top scorer at clubs usually is the one that takes penalties if you evened it out. So for you, Cyril Dessers, Rangers player next season, and if he is a Rangers player, at what extent? Squad player, first name on the team sheet, build a team around him, what's your general thoughts?
I think he could play a part next year. I think he'll stay put unless we get a really good offer for him. I don't think he should be the main man up front. I think he's a good option to have. He's proven that obviously this year he is effective in some games, but I just don't think we can rely on him when, you know, in games that are, you just need your centre forward to just get you up the park. Yeah. You know, I don't think he has that in him. Whether or not that's something him and Clement are going to be working on summer or something, but for me, I think he's got a part to play. I don't think he will be the main number nine. I think he's squad player, but then again, Clement has shown earlier on in his managerial career so far that he likes to rotate, so you never know.
Well, there's a boy tearing it up in Holland, is there not, that you could bring in?
No.
Do you know who Dessers is better than? Fabio Silva.
Oh.
And this is something I wanted to talk to you both about, because
100%.
I can't say that I didn't think that was a good signing at the time. Steve, you were really excited by Silva coming in, the profile of the player. Scott, you were absolutely buzzing. Yeah. I think it's yet again, like, the guy's dreadful. His play acting is some of the worst I've ever seen.
Terrible.
And I think it just, this whole overhyping a player with previous price tags and Premier League track record, if you look back at some of the signings that Celtic and Rangers have made from Premier League teams in recent years, I'm really struggling to find a success story. Like, you look at
I think it's a cultural thing.
But in terms of the Prem, you look at Nat Phillips, you look at John Joe Kenny, you look at Joey Barton, you look at Fabio Silva, Ben Davies. These guys are complete failures at these teams, but yet we always seem to hype them because they're coming from a better league.
Aaron Ramsey.
That boy is a £40 million player.
Well, can I just qualify a little bit? Because this is why I think it's a cultural thing, right? So he plays all the time for Portugal under 21s, by the way. I know you're going to say it's not mentioned, it's not like the proper game, right? He's played 7 games in the Euro under 21 qualifying for Portugal. He's scored 6 goals and he's got 5 assists.
Yeah.
He's bad for Rangers, though.
No, yeah, I'm not disagreeing. He's been bad for Rangers, right? And I get the play acting thing a bit, right? And I get that gets thrown at him. And I agree with you, boys, because I do not want to see that in a domestic game. And this isn't me giving an advert for it, right? I'm just saying that in every major European league outside of Scotland or England to an extent, that is acceptable. Like, that is the done thing, especially, and even in American leagues and things like that, that is the done thing. That is how people act.
We're choosing to dive over scoring. Like, did you see that one in the semi-final?
No, it's
like,
a fact.
That was insane.
It's the way that other, I mean, if you look at the part, and I don't mean this in any way, because people play football in different ways, but Portugal is synonymous with it. That is their culture. So,
but Portuguese, I think, players are also very good at football. Like, they
diverse,
but
they're also he is a good footballer.
Yeah, technically he's good, but I just don't.
He's been rubbish. So, like,
no, he has been.
It's not been great, but I think from a technical standpoint, you can see there's something there. Like, obviously it's overpriced. Yep, absolutely. But I do agree that he's obviously not a terrible footballer. Otherwise, he wouldn't go for the price.
What's max you would pay for him in the summer?
I wouldn't buy him in the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but what I'm saying is I wouldn't have him in my team. I think on paper it looked like a good deal at the time, you know, quite right. And then obviously...
Are we overhyping these players because of price tags and leagues? Because I'm struggling to think of a Premier League success story other than John Lundstrom in recent years for both teams.
Yeah, but we don't really get, in Scotland, we don't really get Premier League players coming, or even Championship players coming to Scotland unless there's like an asterisk next to it. So we either it's age...
Yep.
Injury, huge drop off in forms, plays for a big team but doesn't really ever get a game for that big team. Like, it's not as if someone's come from the Premier League that's like
on fire
right, and then being like,
but I think you look at Scotty Arfield, he got promotion with Burnley and then came straight here and he did well
for a few years, probably one of your best players, and then naturally, I think he was 28, 29 when he signed for you.
Yeah, I think his name was like 34.
He had experience playing Scottish leagues, like he'd been around Falkirk and stuff. So yeah. I do take your point on that, Pat, and I'm not saying Rangers should sign Fabio Silva. I'm just saying that there is a player in there that wouldn't surprise me if in 3 years' time he's playing for a team like Celta Vigo and has 12 La Liga goals and 10 assists to his name. Like, that, it's just a cultural thing, and I just don't think the teams he signed for
are conducive to his.
And also, you've got to remember the Wolves, the team he signed for, have obviously got. And I wouldn't be surprised, I've not looked into this, but they've obviously got Mendes as the agent of nearly every signing they've ever made. So I'd imagine a fair bit of that £40 million might have went in his pocket. So
he's also a cheat. So yeah, let's wrap up.
Hey, it's not like some of your players to be cheaters either, eh? You, Kyogo, doing the top board diving every week, running into people and bouncing off them, pretending he's diving.
He doesn't want to hear that, pal.
Kyogo doesn't dive. Yes, he does.
Another level, and you both know it.
What, Fabio Silva?
Nah,
I don't think he died for the penalty, and I'll happily put I think he did the right thing going down, and I would have done the exact same thing.
Have you seen his play acting in the game at the weekend? And
no.
From the semi-final.
No, but the pain comes from this all comes from what he did in the.
No. Look at the recent examples.
I'm enjoying this, boys. Just keep going.
Yeah. Look at the recent examples, and you come back to me.
Okay. But to go back to the reason why it's in the news, I would have gone down for that penalty because your defender kicked him.
We've been over it. You're supposed to try and find common ground, mate, and all you've done is show your bitter hand.
Yeah,
just get over it.
You do, yeah. I don't know if Pat's come to the centre ground at all this year, has he?
Nah, he's not. But
Player of the Year, who's been nominated for it?
So from Rangers, it's James Tavernier and Jack Butland, which should be no surprise.
No worries, did you not look down the list to see what Celtic players have been nominated?
Yep, Matt O'Reilly.
Is that it?
Yep, and then the other guy is Lawrence Shankland, obviously, because he's, you know, top goal scorer in the league.
Favourite for our boys?
I think it has to be Shankland.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I
think the score, the amount of goals you've scored outside of an Old Firm team is shows you how good the guy is.
There's a nice another middle ground position for you both. I think it should be neither Celtic nor Rangers. I think it should be Shankland. I think Matt O'Reilly's form has gone off a cliff since. He's still been decent, but he's not been anywhere near the level he was for the first 6 months.
He did blink a penalty against Rangers.
Yeah, but like in terms of consistency and generalised performance, his first 6 months were incredible, and he's gone off the boil. And Butland, you could make an argument for.
I was going to say Butland would probably be the only one you could maybe.
Tavernier, you know, Scott's openly criticising this podcast for not being a good defender, so I think it should be Shankland.
Do you not think it's a little bit of a reflection then that out of all the players in your teams and stuff, even the ones that get nominated for Player of the Year, you're not too happy with them? Is that not just maybe a reflection on expectations on Rangers and stuff?
I love Jack Butland. Like, if you want me, if I'm wanting one player, it's Jack Butland. I want him to get the Player of the Year, but I think it'll be Shankland because he's scored, like, he's the highest goal scorer in the league. You know, outside of the Old Firm, I think that's not heard of that often, is it? So
I'll spin the point I'm trying to make here. Is there any players from either of your teams who you felt were hard done by not getting nominated?
I think you could make an argument for Carter Vickers, Hart, or Maida potentially.
For me, I think if Abdallah Sima was able to stay fit and didn't get injury on international duty, I think he would have been a really good shout for Player of the Year because he's obviously started brilliant, you know, 19 goals, and then obviously unfortunately get injured and then picked up another injury last weekend. So I think if he had been able to stay fit for a bit longer, he might have been up there as well.
Is he out for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so. It's not confirmed, but you could see he was holding his hamstring, and obviously there's only a couple of weeks left, so you imagine that's him done, which is a shame because he's been brilliant.
Crazy.
I think the nominees are probably fair enough, to be honest. Yeah. There's, like, you could make an argument for Hart, but that would only be for the most recent part of the season and not the first part. Matt O'Reilly, incredible for the first. If it was done for the first 4 months of the season, it would be a no contest.
Nah, he had it wrapped up.
But Matt O'Reilly does have 3 goals and an assist in his last 5 games, though.
Yeah.
For Celtic.
It's just not that blistering creative form that he showed at the early part, and you know, not looking out of place in the Champions League at all. So
that's why I was surprised. I genuinely thought both of you would say Matt O'Reilly would be favourite.
I think Shankland would win it. I think Shankland deserves to win it.
Yeah, be nice to see. It would be really nice to see. Probably really good for Hearts, could probably put another $500,000 to $1 million on his transfer fee. Trivia questions for this week. So in light of what I said earlier on, it's going to be the first Scottish Cup final between Rangers and Celtic since 2002.
Mad.
So our trivia this week is based around that game on the 4th of May 2002. Now what I'm going to do,
fucking hell.
First of all, I'm going to break, there's 4 questions in this, by the way.
All right.
Each question is worth half a point. You each get to answer the same question. And then we move on to the next one, and the person with who gets the most questions right at the end simply wins. So, surely you remember this. Surely you remember this. We're old enough to remember this.
I was 10.
Both teams had 2 scorers in that cup final. Patrick, who scored the 2 goals for Celtic?
It's the O'Neill team, so I'm gonna say Larson scored one of them.
Wrong.
No. And no. Thompson.
Also wrong. It was Hartson and Bobo Baldi.
Bobo Baldi? Wow.
Yeah. Scotty, Ranger scorers?
I'm trying to think my mind. Obviously,
even I know one of them.
It's a really famous final, mate.
I know. I'm my brain's gone, mate. Trivia. You're just
shocking old from fun.
I know. Trivia, just
I'm
honestly.
I'm a bit Rangers fan than him. Why don't you answer it?
Yeah.
I actually remember the goal.
Of course you do. Fuck. You're in the end, don't you?
Had his name on my back.
I'm going to say Michael Moles.
No.
No.
But Michael Moles was not in the squad.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes that idea then. I really shit at this one. I can't
know the answer to this one.
I probably see when you say it to me, I'll fucking kick myself. But I'm telling you, trivia pressure just gets to me differently.
You turned a shade of white.
Come on, Scott.
Even I want to get
it. Just any major Rangers player in and around that time. And no, Chris Boyd wasn't playing.
No, I know he wasn't playing. Peter Lovenkranz.
There we go.
Well done, Scott.
So Scotty actually gets that one. So that is half a point to Scotty.
Thanks.
By the way, just for reference, Barry Ferguson scored the other goal. And the reason that's a famous cup final is because Peter Lovenkranz scored a 90th minute winner. But clearly don't remember that.
You do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just enjoyed the game as a neutral, but that's fine. You boys didn't clearly care about it enough. That's good club selections from yous. Patrick, you've actually already got a point for my next question, which puts the pressure straight back on Scott, but I will get you to repeat your answer. Managers for the cup final.
O'Neill.
Scotty.
Oh my God. I'm going to say Alec McLeish.
Correct. Half a point each. And third question off this one. Is who were the goalkeepers for each respective team?
That'd be Rab Douglas.
And Rab Douglas? Scottie Boy?
Stefan Kloss.
Correct. And final question is who were the captains for teams on those days? Patrick, I'm going to let you go first. No, sorry, Scotty, I'm going to let you go first on this.
Barry Ferguson.
Pat?
You already gave me the answer.
I did, yeah.
Lenny.
It was not Lennon, no, it was Paul Lambert who got subbed at halftime for Jackie McNamara, and I think Neil Lennon would have been captain second half, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter anyway. Scott wins.
It all came back to me, so I'm glad.
Did it.
I think you've got a moral victory there.
Cool. I like giving Scott moral victories.
Up until I was a teenager, I wasn't really into football, do you mean? So.
So basically since Rangers went bust.
Pretty much, aye. Yeah. I just thought I'd sign myself up for a life of hardship, you know?
Oh, good God.
To be honest, my family were just poor, couldn't afford the telly bill, so...
So were Rangers. So on to predictions. Scott and Patrick battered on without me, which I suppose is fair enough. But it still wasn't enough for Pat to overtake me in second place while we're both on 56 points. And Scott stretching his lead with a total of 60 points. We can't have Scott win this. So this week we have Celtic and Rangers both playing at home. Celtic at home to Hearts and Rangers at home to Kilmarnock. Pat, I'm going to come to you first on this, please, mate. Just give me your predictions for both games.
Tell you something, I'm more scared for the Hearts game than I am for the Rangers game. And I am going to back my team and say a nervy 2-1 win over Hearts, and I think Rangers will beat Kelly 3-0.
3-0 against Kelly?
Yep.
What, if Kelly just fallen off a cliff or something that I've not known about?
It's Derek McInnes will lie down to them.
All right, Chris Sutton.
Scotty Boy.
I'm going to go the opposite of Paddy Boy. I'm going to say Hearts 2, Celtic. I'm going to say Hearts 2, Celtic 1.
Oh. Gambling with his lead.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to go for Brooke. I think it's going to be really tight again, another tight game. So I'm going to say 2 Rangers 2 Kelly 1.
Myself.
Me, myself, and I. I'm going to go. Did I see Hart scoring? Yeah, 3-1 Hart. It's 3-1 Hart.
It's going to be Freudian slip. That's what he wants to happen, everyone. 3-1
to Celtic. And I'm going to go... I'm just waiting for Rangers to wake up, to be honest with you, because that's just...
How much you're struggling, man.
I'm going to go for 3-1 Rangers as well. Yeah, fairly full strength squad, so no major injuries apart from Seema's, is Carter Vickers and all that. Everybody's.
There's a chance Maida might be back early, but we'll see.
We're down to the bare bones, mate.
You've been down to the bare bones since the start of the season, mate.
Very true, yeah. But we did lose like our £6 to £8 million striker right away, and then the guy we bought in Sam Lammers just couldn't hit an open Ballon d'Or, could he? It's just like, dude, what are you doing?
Well, Ballon d'Or seem to be pretty wide in Holland.
Yeah, I know, this is the thing, it's mental.
It's quite hard to hit an open Ballon d'Or.
Well, same thing, you know what I mean, it's open, it's the Ballon d'Or, whatever the saying is, I don't know, I'm too emotionally gone, okay? Watching Sam Lammers tear up the Eredivisie, can he score against Dundee? Honestly, Christ, I've had enough.
Can he hit an open Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, honestly, it's just, Rangers have absolutely destroyed me with football this year. I feel I'm done with this podcast. I'm done with football. I just want to lie in my cave and no come out again. I'm going into permanent hibernation.
Afternoon, gents. Yeah. I am absolutely fucked. But watching this Rangers game has really sobered me up. It's fucking awful.
You've been listening to The Boy and the Bear. Our next episode will be out after the Celtic Rangers title decider, as all three of us are going to be in Spain for the same wedding. Scott might be at the bottom of the pool by that.
Yeah.
We did offer the bride and groom the chance to be special guests on the podcast, but they politely declined that one. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair dues. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us your thoughts to theboyandthebear@gmail.com. Please also send the pod to your mates and ask them to check it out.
And please do follow us on our social channels, Instagram or X at Boy Bear Pod and YouTube at The Boy Bear Podcast. Hail, hail, lads.
Follow.
See you in Spain. See you in Spain.
Adios. What is the actual saying?
Couldn't hit a Ballon d'Or.
Can I hit a Ballon d'Or? Right, fuck's sake. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm done.